And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share a few thoughts with you tonight, once again this year, Habo Aleinu Letova, on the topic of tshuva, not because I consider myself an expert in anything, and certainly not in the context of tshuva, although I have a good friend, a mentor of mine, a colleague, who is in a certain community, and in that community there is also a very prominent Rosh Yeshiva. And this friend of mine is a very inspiring personality, and he draws scores and hundreds of people to his tshuva drasha. And this other rabbinic personality in their community doesn't draw so many people to his tshuva drasha. So the president of the shul of this very prominent, internationally renowned Talmud Chacham came to my colleague and said to him, "Why is it that everybody comes to your tshuva drasha when the rabbi of our shul is like the biggest Talmud Chacham within like 500 miles?" So my friend answered him, he said, "You know, your rabbi is an expert in Judaism. I am an expert in mistakes. So if people want to hear halacha, they come to your rabbi. If they want to hear tshuva, they come to me." So I always keep that story in mind, especially I look around this room and I see a lot of people who themselves could give this talk and have such inspirational lives. So really, this is a gift to me because I've used this as an opportunity to reflect. Every year as I prepare these ideas, I reflect how they can inspire my own life and how they can help me become a better person in all facets of life. So it's really a gift to me. And I'm reflecting for myself and I'm happy to share it with all of you. I want to begin tonight with a strange set of psukim, a strange set of verses that appear in Sefer Devarim, in the fifth book, where Hashem tells us, Va'ata Yisrael, and now the Jewish people, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, what is God asking of you? So usually when somebody says to you, "What am I asking of you?" you'd say, you would anticipate, so it's no big deal. What am I asking of? It's not going to be such a big deal. So the Torah says, you're right. Kiim, it's just, it's but, kiim. Le'yira es Hashem Elokecha, to have awe and fear of God. Loleches b'chol derachav, to walk in all the ways of God. La'ava also, to love God, v'lavod, and to serve God. By the time I finish with these psukim, I think to myself, oh, that's no big deal. That's all of Judaism. And you think to yourself, what does it mean that the Torah tells us that, what's the big deal? Ki'im. Now Hashem is telling you, and you know, Sefer Devarim, it's a lot of a summary. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's final words. So he's telling us, look, I'm leaving you guys now. That's all I'm just going to say. Just doing one little thing. Keep all the 613 commandments with a lot of enthusiasm and don't break any of the small details. That's all I'm asking you. What is the big deal? And the truth is that the Talmud, the Gemara Maseches Brachos, it says, Atu milsa zutra sahi. Is this a small thing? The Gemara itself notes that it's not small. It's huge. So the Gemara says, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a small thing. So the truth is, if anybody here is Moshe Rabbeinu, so then good luck to you, because if you're Moses, you got it all set. But what about for the rest of us? And what's more perplexing about this verse and these series of verses is that they appear several times cited in rabbinic tradition. This word, va'ata. In a few places in the Medrash says, oh, you heard the word va'ata, you know what that means. What does it mean? So the Medrash says it appears in Bereishis Rabba and Parsha Lamed Ches and Siman Tes, ve'ein ve'ata ela tshuva. Ve'ata means tshuva. How do we know that? As it says in the Pasuk, ve'ata Yisrael mo Hashem Elokecha shoel mimach ki'im liyira, the verse that we just quoted. And I ask myself, what does that have to do with tshuva, with return, with mending, with this time of year? What does it have to do with anything? That's question number one. Issue number two is a struggle that many of us have when we come this time of year We're going to approach Yom Kippur. We're going to open up the machzor. We're going to say vidui. We're going to verbalize all those things that we've done over this past year that maybe we fell a little bit short. We didn't fully reach our goal. But I don't know about you, but I have the same vidui packet that I had last year. I have this old school from when I was a kid. I don't know how many of you have seen these. The vidui pamphlet. It was published in the 1970s. It has the English translation of all the lines in there. It's a little pamphlet. I keep it in the back of my machzor, so when I say the vidui, I can read it in English. I know exactly what it says. And the difficult thing is that when I say the vidui year after year, when I read those lines, unfortunately, I'm not surprised. It's not like, oh my gosh, this didn't happen to me this year. The problem is the opposite. That at a certain point, I start reading the lines and I say, I did this and I did this and I did that and I did that. But I realize I said the same thing last year. It's because I did the same things last year. So I keep coming back to the same things over and over. And this is a big problem. Because if you want to really do tshuva, according to the Rambam, that doesn't seem to be adequate. The Rambam tells us in the second chapter in the Laws of Tshuva, he tells us, Uma hi ha-tshuva. What is tshuva? So he tells you, look, there are four steps, four things you need to do. The first one, the Rambam, is sheyazov hachotei cheto. You should stop doing what you don't belong to be doing. That's number one. Then the Rambam says, yisnachim al sha'avar. You should have remorse. You should feel bad, regret the things that we did that we shouldn't be doing. Then the Rambam says, v'yigmor b'libo shelo ya'aseh u'od. Then you should firm up in your mind that you're not going to ever step back to that. You're not going to do it again. And the Rambam concludes that you should say vidu. You should verbalize these three stages. But in there, the Rambam has a line, and this line is shocking. The Rambam says that God should have something to say about you. V'yoid olav yodea ta'alumos. God, who is omniscient, who knows all of our thoughts and everything that's in our hearts, should testify. Yoid, he should testify about each of us. This Yom Kippur, when we say vidui, v'yoid olav yodea ta'alumos, shelo yashuv lezeh hachet le'olam. That I will never return to this error in perpetuity, forever. I read this Rambam, and I say to myself, game over. How many of us can say that we've ever done tshuva to the point that we can have God testify about us that we're never going to do it again? I can testify about myself that I just did it again. I don't need God to tell me. I know myself. So how do we understand this Rambam? Does the Rambam really mean to say that if last year I committed myself to doing something and I didn't really pull it off this year, that means that tshuva was a waste? It wasn't real tshuva. It didn't mean anything. Is that really true? Who can withstand that kind of scrutiny? Whose tshuva is that kind of tshuva? If that were real tshuva, then no one would ever repeat the same averus. It would be impossible. We should tear up the vidui booklets from last year and just write new ones every year, because you're not going to say the same ones you did last year. Obviously, that was a joke. How do you understand this line in the Rambam? And then there's a third very perplexing statement that appears in the rabbi's tradition in the Talmud. And then it's codified by the Rambam, by Maimonides. And it's about an attitude that we should have. The Talmud tells us this is the way we should look at life. It's the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amid Beis. The first word on the previous line of the page, before you flip the folio, is Le'olam. Forever. You should always have the following perspective, and that's going to be very telling. Le'olam means every day, every night, no matter what the circumstance, this is how you have to look at life. The Gemara says, Le'olam, always, Yireh Adam Atzmo, a person should see themselves, Ki'ilu chetzio chayav v'chetzio zakai. As if I am half guilty, chayav guilty, or liable, and half zakai, and half innocent, and half meritorious, half worthy. 50-50, exactly. We should always see ourselves as if we're 50-50. Asa mitzvah achas. If we do just but one mitzvah, ashrav, praiseworthy is that person. Shehechriya atzmo lekafskus. It's great, because if I was 50-50, now I just tipped the scales and I'm a winner. I'm meritorious. But, the Gemara says, if God forbid a person did something in the other direction, so then we know what that means. So I ask you, is that really realistic? Does a person really think about themselves that we're really just 50-50 the whole year? In either direction. What about one of the great sages, one of the great rabbinic luminaries, one of the great tzaddikim, the righteous people? Do they really think they're only 50-50? The tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Ari Levin, was he only 50-50? When he went to meet his maker, he knew he wasn't 50-50. And the opposite is also true. We know there's something called a Rosh HaGomor, someone who's totally wicked. Now, I happen to have a great approbation. My Rebbe, who's one of the great Gedolei Hador, one of the great giants of the generation, said about me that I am not a Rosh HaGomor. I will tell you, because I'm going to reflect on this episode, a different part of this episode in a few minutes, but about almost 14 years ago, on August 14th, 2003, there was a huge blackout throughout the Northeast. A huge blackout. Some of you are nodding, you remember this. It was a Thursday, August 14th, 2003. And that was the day that Nechama and I got married. And I've always speculated that the cause of the blackout was some kind of power surge for various hair straighteners and hair curling irons and other, you know, six girls were getting ready for this wedding. So because of that power outage in the Northeast, my Rebbe, Rav Herschel Schechter Shalita, and his wife, the Rebbetzin, they got stuck with us for Shabbos. So many interesting things happened that Shabbos. So one of the things was that at Shal Shudas, Rav Schechter was there, so the rabbi of the shul invited him to speak. And he spoke about Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence in marriage. And he spoke about the Rambam's opinion that for most people, there isn't specific divine providence, only if you're an unusually righteous person, a tzaddik gomer, or if you're an unusually unrighteous, an unusually wicked person. So he said about me, he said, he's not a Rosh HaGomor, so I can't say, I definitely know he doesn't have Hashgacha Pratis on that side, which was a ringing endorsement. But he did not say what I was beyond that. That was Shalosh Shudas. We'll get back to more later. But what if you have someone who's a Rosh HaGomor? They know they're a Rosh HaGomor, or they know they're a tzaddik gomer, complete tzaddik. So why are they going to look at themselves as if they're 50-50? So the answer to this question may be found in an amazing small footnote. Now this footnote is interesting because in certain editions of the book that I'm about to share with you, it does not appear. The book is known as Oros HaTshuva, The Lights of Return. And its author was a great rabbinic luminary named Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Rav Cook was born in 1865 and he studied in the greatest, arguably the greatest yeshiva in the 1870s. That was the Volozhin Yeshiva, headed by none other than the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And he was recognized as the greatest student in the yeshiva. And he became a Rav in a small town, in another small town. And then, in the beginning of the 20th century, he made Aliyah, this rabbinic star, came to Israel and became the Rav of Yafo. And then, after a period, he was traveling in Switzerland in 1914, where he got stuck because he couldn't get back to Israel for a specific reason, World War I. He became a rabbi in London. Then in 1919, he came back to Israel. He moved to Yerushalayim. He became the first chief rabbi of the modern settlement of the land of Israel. He established a yeshiva there. He died in 1935. And Rav Cook was an unimaginable giant. He wrote works in halacha, in Jewish law. in Jewish philosophy, in machshava, in poetry, in all aspects of Jewish life. And he was a remarkable personality, both in terms of who he was and what he accomplished, which is beyond the scope of tonight. And he wrote a transformational work on tshuva, which is unlike anything that ever came before it, and maybe just, you know, set a new path in terms of what has come since. And in this work, Oras HaTshuva, he has chapters. And then within the chapters, he has little bite-sized nuggets. So each one is numbered like according to the alphabet, like 1, 2, 3. So in Perek Yud Gimel, he has a little number test. He has number 9. And in some editions, it just goes from 9 to 10. But in many of the editions, and this edition that I'm holding up in front of you is a page from the edition that was edited by his son, the late, great Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, there's a little asterisk next to the 9. There's a 9, a test 1 with an asterisk. And then there's a test, a little asterisk, and a test number 2. And here Rav Cook tells us a fundamental principle, perhaps the key takeaway that we're going to think about tonight. And that is that tshuva is in the here and now. Rav Kook says something amazing. He says, u'batchila in the beginning, as part of this process of renewal, of returning to our Hashem, to returning to ourselves, lo yosim kol kach le'ikar ma'akiv al dvar ha'avar. Don't think so much about the past. Really? I thought that tshuva was all about the past. I thought that the whole point of return is to take a list, think about what happened this past year. I'm going to go back, you know, depending on how far you can think. Usually I can only think from one meal to the prior meal. I had dinner, I can think till lunch. And then also foreshadowing. I go from lunch planning till dinner. But some people can think earlier. So you can think back. How far you can think back? I always thought tshuva was making a cheshbon ha-nefesh, an accounting of what was. So you look back, you think about what was, and you're going to go through those steps of the Rambam based on everything that I did, and I'm going to address it. Rav Kook says, don't do that. He says, actually, that tshuva is in the here and now. And he says, I'll tell you why. He says, ki im yavo miyad lasok v'tikon ha'avar, if I start right away worrying about the past, he says, yimtza menios rabos, you will find many impediments, a lot of things that are going to stop us. They're going to hinder us. V'yudarkei ha'tshuva, and the pathways of tshuva, of return, and closeness to Hashem, v'kirvas Hashem, closeness to God, kashem lefanav, it's not going to be easy. And when you think about that, you say, you know what? It's true. It's true psychologically. My teacher, my Rebbe Muvik in psychology, Dr. David Pelkovitz, he talks about how sometimes when we think about the past, if we get into, you know, we think about the shortcomings, the things that we didn't do so well, there are different ways of psychologically dealing with those things in the past. And sometimes part of the challenge is when we go there in our mind, you know, we think, okay, I'm going to be really pious. I'm going to do tshuva. I identified this was an episode, and it doesn't matter who it was with and what it involved. This is an episode that I'm going to do tshuva on right now. So you know what? I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to think about exactly what went wrong there, what the cause of what went wrong was, and how I'm going to fix it. So in my mind, I start going back there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm really upset about so-and-so, what they did. And you, by the time you finish doing tshuva from this bad situation, you are so in the muck about it that it's like you would have been better not going back there, because now you're more upset you were than you were before you even started. So you'll find a mania, a barrier to tshuva. That's number one. And there's another challenge. If I imagine that my misdeeds, my little slip-ups, are like little pebbles in a sack, imagine if I turned around to look at all the pebbles in my sack since last Yom Kippur. I wouldn't have a sack. I would have a railroad car, or two, or three. And I would say to myself, you know what? It's over. There's no point. There's no chance. Did you see how much is back there? How much baggage I'm walking into Yom Kippur with? So Rav Kook says, you know what? Tshuva is about the here and now. Don't worry about the past. You know what happens? He says, "Biyoso asuf be'emes l'sakin es ma'isuf." If you really deal with the present, he says an amazing thing. He says, "Hadavar muftach." We are promised from she'oz yazru min hashamayim. From heaven, they'll help us. Gam kein al takanas ha'avar. God will help us with the past. Our job, let's focus on the present. Tshuva is in the here and now. You know, one of the saintly personalities who existed in the last 100 years was Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan of Radin. This man who lived in this tiny Polish city illuminated the entire world with his works, with his teachings. He's most famous for his book about Lashon Hara. He doesn't tell Lashon Hara, he tells you not to tell Lashon Hara. He died in 1933 at the age of 100 and something. We don't know exactly how old he was. We have pictures of the Levaya, of the Chafetz Chaim leaving. He was placed on a stretcher, covered over, and you could see, I have a picture in my house, it's unbelievable. There is a bundle of his Svarim that are next to him going out to be buried from the yeshiva. You could see that the hall of the yeshiva is packed with people for the Chafetz Chaim is Levaya. There were men and women in the Radna yeshiva listening to the Hespedim for the Chafetz Chaim, the great giant of the generation. So this was a man, the saintly of the saintly. And they put together of the collection of the teachings of the Chafetz Chaim on Yom Noraim, on the high holidays. And you can imagine how powerful that is, how important it is. And he says, I'll tell you why. We started this evening with the Pasuk, Va'ata Yisrael, now the Jewish people, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. Because he says, Va'ata, now that, the Medrash says, is tshuva. Because, says the Chafetz Chaim, Va'ata, and now, Chashov al Hahoveh, think about the present. Al Harega Hazeh, on this moment, Va'al Tachshov al Ha'avar, don't think about the past. That's the Chafetz Chaim speaking. Ki Masha Avar, Avar. What's past is past. Is don't worry about the past, just worry about the present. Because the past is in the past. Some of us remember as kids, or our children as kids, or maybe our grandchildren, some of us are familiar with The Lion King. You can take a lot of yesodos from different historias from various Disney films. Not all, but some. If you remember, there was a multicolored baboon called, anybody remember his name? Rafiki, very good, Bikias. Rafiki! So Rafiki is talking to the younger lion, Simba, all right, also Bagheera, very good. And he whacks him over the head with a stick, and he says to him, what's that about? And he says, it doesn't matter, it's in the past. So, Lahavdil ben Achaim ben Achaim, I'm not putting the Chafetz Chaim with this Torah in the same sentence. But that's what it is, says the Chafetz Chaim. The past is in the past. And if that's true, if the words of the saintly and the Heilige Chafetz Chaim are true, then we can also understand, perhaps, what the Gemara in Kiddushin was telling us. The Gemara in Kiddushin is telling us, you might be. And I look around this room and I see people who are absolutely tzaddikim gemurim. Not 50-50. Tzaddikim gemurim. 100% halavai, all of us. But perhaps the Gemara is telling us, the point is that it doesn't matter. We might not be at 50-50. We might have a heavier bag of stones in the back. But you know what the Gemara is telling us? Don't worry about it. Don't look at your life and say, you know what, I have more failures than I have successes, even if you do. Because that's not a good way to look at it. Let's look at it as if everything is even right now. Because all that matters right now is the present. And it's true, Taka, in the present, everything is even. There's no reason that in the present moment, I should be more innocent or more guilty. It's the present. It's 50-50. So that's why, la'olam, we always have to live our life in the present moment. Don't worry about the past. Masha avar avar, said the Chafetz Chaim. And now, I'm 50-50, I'm going to make a good choice. And maybe, if tshuva is in the here and now, if tshuva is in the here and now, maybe this is what we can say is the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam said about us that when we do tshuva, it has to be so firm and so certain that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, who knows all the secrets, will testify about us that we'll never go back to this Avera ever again. And we wondered how that's possible. But based on what we're saying now, that tshuva is being defined in the moment, in the present, in the here and now. So maybe this is the pshat. That if in the here and now, I really am making that good choice, I really am doing what I am supposed to be doing, and the past doesn't matter, and the future doesn't matter, because by the way, it's not just true for the past, it's also true for the future. Because if a person thinks too much about, you know, do you know how far long I have to climb to become a tzaddik, or a tzaddikus, or a righteous person? Oh, you ever see that mountain? It's enormous. I'm not going to climb it. So don't worry about the future either. If I look just at the present and I'm doing what I belong to be doing now, if I just take a snapshot of this, in this moment, you know what? I would not do this past Avera again. I wouldn't. What happens when I repeat the Avera? I'm not in that present moment. This present moment right now, if this were to be freeze-framed, if it were to be frozen in time for eternity, I wouldn't do it again. I'm better now. You're right, maybe it's not going to stick, but guess what? The Chafetz Chaim will tell the Borei Olam, the future doesn't matter and the past doesn't matter. What matters is right now. If I am firm right now in my conviction of what kind of person I want to be and what kind of life I want to lead, then I'm good. And right now, if I really am firm, if I were to take this moment and freeze it in time, I would never relapse. Right now, I wouldn't relapse. I really am serious. And so the Rosh Hashanah says, that's the tshuva that I'm looking for. The tshuva that is serious in the present. That when I have that opportunity, I take the opportunity in the present, irrespective of what happened in the past, and irrespective of what's going to happen in the future. Because right now, I just have to worry about the present. And it's such a powerful teaching, and it's true about life. You know that they say from the holy Rav Nachman of Breslov, the whole world is like a very narrow bridge. We're like tightrope walkers. You ever see these people? It's amazing. They string a wire across. I read about a guy who strings a wire. First he did the Niagara Falls, but he had a safety net, so that's no big deal if you have a harness. Then he went to the Grand Canyon. And he went across the Grand Canyon without a harness, standing on a wire. So how do you do that? So there's an interesting book. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called Performing Under Pressure: The Science of Doing Your Best When It Matters Most. So I would think if you're 2,000 feet in the air on a one-inch wire, that's a good time to be doing your best. So what do they tell you? What's the secret? Keep your thoughts in the moment. Often, a loss of focus is caused by, quote, time travel. You start to think about the future, perhaps the consequences of your performance, or you journey back to the past and think about previous failures. Either trip takes you away from the here and now, where your thoughts should be focused. Isn't that true for life? Isn't that true for tshuva? It's not just true for a person standing at the top of the Grand Canyon. And because if that person takes even a half a second of focus and thinks about the past or the future, they're going to end up to their death in the ravine. It's true for tshuva. Just think about the moment. Focus on the moment. There was a mashpia, you could call him. There was a very influential Lubavitch Chassid. He was extremely close to the Friedeker, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadeh V'Kadosh Levracha. And his name was Rav Mendel Futterfass. Rav Mendel Futterfass, he was the man you can imagine, like with a full Chabad, long white beard and a little cap. And he spent many years, spent years in a Soviet prison because in the 1940s he was caught trying to get Jews out of Russia, smuggling them out. So he was caught by the Soviets and he spent 6 months under interrogation. And every day he reminded himself to be strong and not to give in, to not tell anybody. You know, there was a whole group of Lubavitch Hasidim were trying to get out, to get Jews out of Russia, not to give in. So he spent years in prison. So afterwards he came out and he became a huge influential personality in the world of Chabad. So I have a friend shared with me the story. He told me that Reb Mendel Futterfass was once sitting next to somebody and they were just talking about life. So Reb Mendel says to the man, he says, "What is the holiest place in the world?" So the man says back to him, "Of course, Rebbe, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of the Holy, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple." And Reb Mendel looks at the man and he says to him, no. He says to the man, he says, "For you, at this moment, the holiest place in the world is where you're sitting right now. That's the holiest place in the world. Because tshuva, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in the here and now." So perhaps what we can do tonight is reflect as we turn to something practical, as we have tried in the past in this venue, to think about practical perspectives on what it means to be in the here and now in the world of tshuva in three dimensions. Because the Vilna Gaon, the great genius Rav Eliyahu of Vilna, he laid out for us three dimensions, three aspects of our life. There are three parts of who we are and what we're going to be thinking about. There is what we call Bein Adam Liatzmo, between one and oneself, between me and myself, my character, who I am, what type of person I am. Then there's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between people, interpersonal relationships, how I treat others, how my interactions are with others. And then there's Bein Adam L'Makom, between us and God. And we can be in the here and now in each one of these. And perhaps we can share a couple of examples. Let's start with Bein Adam L'Atzmo, between a person and themselves. Because if the idea of tshuva is being in the moment, well, every moment we have a choice of what kind of person we're going to be. It might be, by the way, parenthetically, that this is why the Rambam, in the middle of the laws of tshuva, inserts the laws of free will, the principle, the doctrine of Bechira Chavshis. Because at every moment I have a choice. What kind of person am I going to be? God has a positive attitude toward life. So much so that our tradition tells us that if a person were to be 50-50, somehow exactly in the midpoint of Averos and Zechuyos, God says, we're going to go with the Zechuyos. We're going to look at the positive. God says, I am a half full kind of person. So we can be like God in every moment in the present. Every situation that we find ourselves in, we have a choice. We have Bechira Chavshis, how we want to see it. What kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to be glass half empty kind of people? Or do we want to be glass half full kind of people? We have that choice. We have the tshuva in the moment, the decision of how to view things. Things are not always perfect. Sometimes we find ourselves caught up in a situation. We're caught. You know what it might remind you of? Imagine there was a ram that had horns that was caught in a thicket, in the bushes, on a mountaintop somewhere, in the middle of Israel. And you were a bystander. You happened to be walking past Har HaMoriah one fine day, and you see a ram in a bush, and its horns are tangled up in the bush. So you can look at that ram and you could say, wow, that ram is stuck. It's stuck in the bushes. But my teacher, Dr. Pelkovitz, points out you can look at that same ram in two different ways. You could say that the ram is stuck, or you could say that it's positioned. It's not stuck. It's positioned. Because as you're walking by, just strolling along, in 5 minutes you see two men walking. One is an old man. The other one looks like his son. They look like each other. And the man puts the son on an altar. And then a heavenly voice comes out and says, No, that wasn't what you're supposed to do to actually kill him. Take him down. So Avram looks up and says, so what now? And they say, didn't you notice? There's a ram stuck in the bush. And you're going to blow the horn that got stuck in that bush every year. And you're going to say it in the Slichos, and you're going to say it on Yom Kippur. And we're going to remember that act of sacrifice through the horn that was stuck in the bush. So if you are a glass half empty ram, you're going to say, wow, I'm stuck here in this bush. That's what a glass half-empty ram thinks, I guess. But if you're a glass half-full ram, you think to yourself, wow, God positioned me in this thicket because I'm about to be the Ola, the Korban, that is going to last for eternity for a merit for the Jewish people, Afro, Savra, God is back in the place of Yitzchak Avinu, our father Yitzchak. Two ways to look at life. We could be stuck, or we could be positioned. And this perspective affects everything that we do. If we have a positive outlook, we judge other people favorably. We don't get as frustrated as easily. We don't get as angry as easily. Think for ourselves what it means to choose in the moment, in the here and now, the tshuva of the moment of Bein Adam La'atzmo, of thinking positively. Think about the power of that tshuva. Because it doesn't matter what happened before. It could be that I was Debbie Downer for the last X number of years of my life. But because tshuva's in the moment, that's irrelevant. I'm not going to go there. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But right now, I have a choice. I have mechza al mechza. I have bechira chavshis. I'm going to look at it positively. That's va'ata. That's right now. That's bein adam le'atzmo. What about in the realm of bein adam le'chaveiro? And the truth is that this is very difficult. But it's a goal. It's a goal that I think about for myself on the journey. But it's very powerful. What if the way I related to other people had no past? What if when I picked up the phone to call that relative, and I don't want to say if anybody else has those relatives, but some people have that relative, and I'm not sure I'm going to say if it's your relative, it's your spouse's relative, or that friend, or that acquaintance, or that neighbor, and when I pick up that phone, I know there is so much baggage. It's like more than the coal, the rocks that I had on the Averis in my train. This is like the double-decker metro full of baggage. But what if I called that person as if there was no history? There was no avar. As the Chofetz Chaim says, the avar is avar. What if I was able to relate to that person just in the hove and just let go of the past, even to some extent? At that Shabbos Sheva Brachos, at the lunch meal, so Rav Schechter spoke. Before he spoke, we were sitting at the table, and my mother-in-law, God bless her, you all know that I love her very much, but she could be so embarrassing when your Rebbe is there, and she says to your Rebbe, so, is it a segula? Is it a merit to eat the challah? Like, oh, Mom, to say that at the table. So without missing a beat, Rav Schechter said, it's a segula to get fat. That was his response about eating the challah at the Sheva Brachos. So he gets up to speak, and he notes the Haftorah of that Shabbos, based on a Gemara in Brachos, and he talks about selective memory. Gam eile tishkachna, the Navi says in the name of God, these I will forget, v'anochi lo eshkachech, and these I will not forget. So Rav Schechter said to us, and I think he was telling me more, he's like, there are certain things lo tishkachna. Anniversaries, you do not forget them. Birthdays, you better not forget them. But there are certain things, gam eile tishkachna, you know what? There are certain things that in life, it's better just to forget them. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to us in our life, he says, Gam Eile Tishkachna, you did those things, I'm going to forget them. Come Yom Kippur, I'm not going to remember those things. The Rebbe Shlomo says, I'm looking at you in the present. Ba'asher husham. We're going to live life together, us and the Rebbe Shlomo kifiyachol, right here, our relationship is in the present. So Rav Shechter said, it's true, be'inan l'chaveiro. Sometimes, as much as possible, it's impossible to totally forget the past. But the idea of just letting it go and saying, gamele tishkachne, you know what? Some things, it's okay to forget. And think about what that means for us, how we relate to other people when we do forget them, both in the past and in the future. You know, sometimes I listen on the radio, and my kids know this, not every song has like great depth, but there are a lot of deeply inspired and thoughtful songs on the country music station. There are. Not everyone. Some of them involve spilled beer cans and cars that broke down in Indiana, well, you know, things. But there are some very deep ones. So, again, Lahavdil, not to put Rav Shechter Shlita and Old Dominion in the same sentence. But they have a line, and it's so true, and they tell you on this song, the refrain is that you need to love like there's no such thing as a broken heart. Or, in another particular person, his name is Chris Young, he says, love you like there's no tomorrow. What happens tomorrow? I can't speak about tomorrow. What happened yesterday? I can't speak about tomorrow. Maybe yesterday there was a broken heart. Maybe tomorrow there's going to be a broken heart. But, gam eilat tishkachna, that's okay. We can forget about those things. We don't have to think about those things in the future or in the past. We could just live in the moment. Just tshuva in the here and now. And finally, in the realm of Bein Adam Lamakom, and we can think about this in the context of davening. Because davening is hard, but davening in the moment is so important. Because the past, when we think about the past when it comes to davening, that's not so easy. I'm not going to take a survey of how many people here did this, but let's take this past Monday, for example. Today is Wednesday. I'm not going to ask you how many times you said Shemona Esrei on Monday. But you should know that I said Shemona Esrei 3 times on Monday. And you're thinking, you wouldn't expect anything different, right? You expect at least, the guy's a rabbi, it's a Seris Mechuva, at least he should daven Shemona Esrei 3 times. No. I said Shemona Esrei 3 times for Mincha. For Mincha. Because you know what happens if you don't say HaMelech HaKadosh and then you realize later on, you go right back to the beginning. And you know what happens if you do that a second time? You go right back to the beginning. So by the 3rd time, I'm like, davening like this, I'm like, please God, I just got to get through this one Shemona Esrei. I just got to get HaMelech HaKadosh. That's all I got to get through. Davening could be very difficult if you think about the past. It's so difficult. The Kavana is very difficult. You know, sometimes we're davening Shemona Esrei. We just carve out that little bit of time, especially for people who are on the go and davening at home or here, there, not in shul. You know, you carve out that time for davening and you're like, okay, whew, my soul needs to breathe. I'm going to take a few minutes now. I'm going to daven. I start Shemona Esrei. I get to Magen Avraham. I'm great. I'm saying all the words. I'm in Chonin Hadas. And then the next thing I know, after Hashivenu, I just turned that corner in Jewel between the meat section and the sushi section. And then I start going like this. And I'm like, why am I bowing when I passed the Aaron section in the free? And I'm like, oh, it's Modim. So here I am at Modim, and I just made a left past the Chol of Yisrael cream cheese. You know that section? I made that whole U-turn, and I'm holding cup here because my list and the rushing and the things I'm going to forget. And then I realized my back went down because I'm in Modim. And then I said, oh, this davening, this one is, this. It's gone. It's gone. It's over. That never happened to anybody else, but it definitely has happened to me. Or, you know, you're davening Shemona Esrei, you started in Chicago, and then the next thing, you know, you were in New York. That ever happened to anybody? You know, the next thing, you're in Miami, especially in the wintertime. There was once a Chassidish Rebbe who saw his his chassid, when he took 3 steps back for Shmona Esra, he went over to him afterwards. He said, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. He said, Rebbe, what do you mean? I just finished Shmona Esra. He says, I know, that's why I'm welcoming you back here to the shul. If we get bogged down in doing tshuva for the past of davening, we're never going to go anywhere. We're never going to. And if we worry about the future of our davening, if we say, you know what, this davening is going to be perfect. How many times have we said, this davening, this is going to be really it? You know what the minimum level of Shmona Esrei Kavana is? The bare minimum, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is just the first blessing, the first bracha. You got to know you're standing before God and reading the words. And then the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, says, well, what happens if you didn't have kavana? You didn't have intention. You didn't have kavana for the first bracha? The answer is yes. Some of the times we don't even have kavana for the first bracha. So the Rama says, you know what? Don't say it again. What do you mean? The Rama in his class, Shulchan Aruch, says, don't say it again. The Shulchan Aruch says, you weren't Yotze. He says, you know why? Because today, in Krakow, in the 17th century, when we think all Jews were pious and everybody had kavana from the beginning of davening, 7 hours later to the end of davening, the Rama says, you know, we have a hard time with kavana. And who's to say that if you say it again, your kavana is going to be any better the second time? So you know what? Don't go back. Just worry about the bracha you're in right now. If I hit the matbucha and, you know, the dips on the left side and the Chol of Yisrael yogurt on the right side, and I'm in the Chol HaChaim, you know what? You don't go back. You just say, you know what tshuva is? It's in the here and now. So maybe my Shmon Esrei until now was in Jewel, but right now I'm back in my Shmon Esrei. And whatever was, Masha Avar, says the Chavetz Chaim, Avar. It's over. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I only worry about what's in the moment. These are things that we can think about for our avoda. For what tshuva means for us, it means tshuva in the present. So to conclude, I'll share with you 2 stories. The first story appears in the Shlomo Karlbach Haggadah. Nor Shlomo, Zichrono Levracha, Chai Olam Haba, he traveled the world, literally traveled the world, and he inspired Jews and he moved Jews with his music and his teachings, and maybe most of all with his stories. So things that you think could never have happened, they happened to Reb Shlomo Karlbach. They absolutely did, without a question. So Reb Shlomo tells a story that he was in Waco, Texas on an Erev Shabbos. And as was his minig, he would try to go on Erev Shabbos, he tried to go to the mikveh. So he shows up to the mikveh in Waco, Texas. So you can imagine what kind of Jewish community they have. I don't know, you know, today or what it was like then. It's not known as an Ir Ve'em B'Yisrael. It's like a major, like, hub of religious activity. So Shlomo says he's about to go into the mikveh in Waco, Texas, and a huge stretch limousine pulls up to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon. And out of the stretch limousine comes a cowboy. This man has a huge Stetson, like an older gentleman, a huge Stetson, and metal chains. Tons of metal chains. And in Reb Shlomo's words, he didn't look that Yiddish. Didn't look so Jewish. So as this guy starts walking to the mikveh, of course, if you're Shlomo Karlbach, you're going to go over to the man, you're going to say, so who are you, Reb Yid? And he says, I'll tell you who I am, and you'll probably wonder, what am I doing here? You would think that a person who goes to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos should also keep Shabbos. Well, the truth is, you know, as you can tell, I don't keep Shabbos. But I'm here to go to the mikveh, and I'll tell you why. He says, because my family came from Europe. We came from a small town called Vizhnitz. And in Vizhnitz, there was a remarkable, beautiful Hasidus. The Vizhnitz or Hasidim that still exists to this day. And this man says, I remember when I was a little boy, the Shabbos before we left Vizhnitz, my father was a Vizhnitz or Chassid, and so he brought me, as a kid, he brought me to the Friday night Tish. And you know, there were tons, hundreds, maybe thousands of chassidim packed into this small Vizhnitzer Beis Medrash on a Friday night. And there was singing, and there was hislavas, inspiration. And I wanted to get a good spot, but it's like wall-to-wall people. So the man says, I was a little boy, so I crawled under the table. And I listened to the voice of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe. He says, I didn't really understand everything that was going on there, but I knew Yiddish, and I knew what the Rebbe was saying. I understood the words. And he said, I remember that the Rebbe stood up. I'm under the table. I see him standing on his feet, and I'm listening to him. And he starts crying out to the Chassidim. He says, Holy Chevra, my dear Chassidim, you know, he says, sometimes a person feels that they want to do a mitzvah. They want to do something good. And then you know what happens? The Satan, the brother devil, comes along and he tells you, you want to do a mitzvah? You want to do something special, something holy, something beautiful? The devil says to us, the little brother devil, the holy Satan, he says to us, I know what you were up to yesterday, and I know what you're going to be up to tomorrow. So don't bother. Screamed the Vizhnitzer Rebbe to all of his chassidim. He says, that's the Yetzer Hara. Don't listen to him. Tell him to get away. You tell the Yetzer Hara in my name that I, the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, tell him to get out of your life. For 1 minute, leave you alone. I don't care what I'm going to do later, but right now I want to serve God. So the cowboy looked at Reb Shlomo and he says, you know, sometimes I eat on Yom Kippur and sometimes I fast. But from time to time I want to do something holy. This afternoon, I don't know why, but I had this feeling that I've got to go to the mikvah. A little voice says to me, you're crazy. You don't even keep Shabbos. But I remember the words of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe in my ears to tell that Yetzer Hara, go away. Because I want to do something holy right now. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the Va'ata. We can't worry about what happened yesterday, and we can't worry about what happens tomorrow. The Rebbe is telling us, we want to do something holy, we want to come back, we want to be closer to Hashem Yisbarach. Just worry about the here and now. And why does that matter? Some of things, we're still, that little Yetzer Hara, that little brother devil that Reb Shlomo talked about is still gnawing at us right now, listening to this talk. You're thinking, but what is the point? The person's not going to observe Shabbos, so what's the point? So there are a few points. Number one is that it's like there's a sports cliche. It's the sports cliche. Probably the cliche of all sports cliches. What happens to a team that's in the pennant race? And the Cubs, you know, they may clinch the Central Division title, even at this moment, in the schus of these different Torah, who knows? You know what they say in sports? They say, we take it one game at a time. Right? How many times have you heard that expression? We just take it one game at a time. It doesn't matter the level of the IQ of the player or the coach who is saying it, it all sounds the same. We just take it one game at a time. And it's true. Because we take it one game at a time. Because if I do this action right now, who knows, maybe the future will change. The second perspective is, even if this future does not change, every action counts. So whatever happens tomorrow doesn't take away the holiness of this moment, of the Vi'ata. You know, some of you know the story of the man, the old man who's looking out at the beach after there was a huge surge. And all along the beach are these starfish that washed up along the beach. And there's a young man, a little boy, an adolescent who walks up to the first starfish. He picks it up. He sees it's drying out on the beach. He picks it up and he flings it back into the ocean. And then he takes the next one. He flings it back into the ocean. And the old man calls to the boy and says, here, come here, son. And he says to him, son, what are you doing? And the little boy says, with tamimas, he says, I'm putting the starfish back in their home.
And the man says, look out. There are thousands of starfish. So the little boy picks up another starfish. He puts it in his right hand. He flings it as far as he can to the ocean. He looks at the old man and he says, sir, it made a difference to that one. So even if it's not going to affect the future, it matters right now in terms of this action counts. But the truth is that it even matters for the future with one last story. There is a woman, an educator in our community, who many of you in this room know, who shared with me that, she shared with a group, I heard her share this story, and I asked her if I could repeat the story. I'm not going to give you her name, but she said it's okay to share this personal story, that some time ago, she's a young woman, but she started to experience back pain on occasion. And in her classroom, she was feeling back pain, and then at home, and it became precipitously problematic until one time she's sitting in her car and she can't get out of the car because she's in so much back pain. And she waits till a woman pulls up nearby and asks her, can you please help me get out of the car? And at this point she decides she has to see a doctor. So she goes to see a doctor and they tell her that her whole back is all sedrate. I don't know exactly the medical terminology, but that's like the long and the short of it. So she has to go for physical therapy. So she goes to physical therapy, and the physical therapist tells her that your whole life you've been destroying your body, because when you pick up your kids, you're picking them up the wrong way and you're hurting this part of your back and this, you know, you didn't even know these things existed, this muscle and that bone. And, you know, when you're standing wrong, and you're sitting wrong. So everything is totally out of whack. Everything is totally messed up. So what you need to do now is you need to be on a regimen that whenever you sit, you have to sit exactly like this. You know, they tell you, you know, they give you also, they probably gave her like the plastic band. That's the cure-all of everything in physical therapy. That torturous yellow band. I don't know, every exercise involves that yellow band. Whatever. So she has the yellow band, she has to sit a certain way, and when she stands, she has to stand a certain way, and then when she picks up her kid, she has to pick them up a certain way. And this way, she'll get her body back in order. But the problem is, we know that life is not so simple, and that, you know, yeah, it's good, they tell us we have to sit a certain way, and we have to stand a certain way. It never happens, it happens once, then it doesn't happen, it happens once, and every time you have to come back, you know, mamish like Yom Kippur to the physical therapist, you know, this time it wasn't as good, but next time, I'm telling you. So this woman, she says to the physical therapist, she says, I have to tell you the truth. I'm not sure this makes any sense. Because for every one time that I stand straight the way I'm supposed to, 12 times I stand crooked the way I'm not supposed to. So what's the point? I think I should just give up the whole physical therapy geschäft. Just leave it alone. That's it. It's just not for me. So the physical therapist said, no, you don't understand. You have to try the best that you can. But you should know, even though 12 times you stand up and it's half crooked, but when you stand up one time the right way, it strengthens those muscles. Just one time picking up your kids the right way, it strengthens the right muscles. And even if you're going to let them lapse a little bit once and here and there, but every time you do it, it does make a difference. It does have an impact. It does strengthen those muscles. So all of the incredible people assembled, don't we know that that's true in our Avodas Hashem, in the Va'ata, in the here and now? That if we don't worry about the past, like the Chafetz Chaim said, Masha Avar Avar, and we don't worry about the future, we just build the muscles, the spiritual muscles, the connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the here and now, in the present moment, isn't that what Tshuva is all about? Isn't that Va'ata? Isn't that something that can inspire each one of us, Bein Odom La'atzmo, in how we are for ourselves, perhaps, in terms of our positive outlook, and being the glass half full type of person in the moment when we decide how we're going to look at things? Isn't it true also in the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, in the way that we treat other people, that maybe we would treat them differently if we just forgot about all that was in the past? And isn't it true in our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that when we daven, no matter how many times we forgot to daven, or we forgot HaMelech HaKadosh, or we forgot exactly where we were when we were davening, it really doesn't matter. Because it's right now, it's Va'ata, it's the here and now. We're going to strengthen those muscles. I'll invite you on your way out. You'll see on the table outside, there are two things that you can take with you if you'd like. The first one is this little piece of paper, this off-white paper. It says, in, out, up. Bein Adam L'Yatzmo, Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Adam L'Makom. You can take it and you can put it in your drawer. You fill out maybe for this year. It's just a tool to be practical about thinking about what are the areas that I can work on in my life in the right now. And then there's like a little bookmark, like a little takeaway. It's this card. It takes us back to Rav Kook. That reminds us that it's all va'ata, that tshuva is in the here and now. I invite you to take them on your way out. And I invite us all to have a wonderful year of besuros tovos for us, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael. And we should be able to fulfill, to live lives of va'ata, just in the here and now, that are filled with blessing and reconnection to God this coming year. Thank you very much, and Shana Tovah.